My name is Winfrey, and my co-host is, would you introduce yourself, please?
My name's Don Newsom. Glad to be here.
And to welcome you to the Don and Win Show. Hey, Don.
Yes.
How come we didn't call it the Win and Don Show?
You know, I was thinking about that, and
maybe we should change it every week.
You know, hey, like Fawlty Towers, when they change, when they change that sign every time?
Yeah.
I always liked that show. Shame it's not around anymore.
Okay. Well, you know, we are recording this probably, sooner or later we're going to do this show live. We're recording this perhaps an hour to 2 hours before you're hearing it. And Don and I just did a little discussion saying, what are we going to talk about? And I said, interdimensional communication. And why should we talk about interdimensional? Why? You have had on your show a number of people
mm-hmm.
who have been involved in this topic of interdimensional communication, right?
That's correct. Quite a few people.
Like, who are some of them?
Well, you know, there's Eva Hare, there's Doug, there was Dr. Burke, there's Preston Dennett, there's, I mean, there are quite a number of them. There's Mick Avery,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, his wife Sylvie. I mean, you name it. We've had quite a number of those people talk about interdimensional communications, and it's quite an interesting topic.
Right. That's the idea that an earthling, somebody in a body, can have communication with someone, I guess, out of a body or in a body on another level, right?
Well, exactly.
And, of course, probably those listening have heard of this experience. And, you know, prior to 5 years ago, I wondered if it could be real. And I wondered if it could be trusted, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you know they're telling you the truth? How do you know? What are they telling you? Why do they want to talk to you? And
well, often enough, how do you even know that you're not talking to yourself?
Yeah, how do you know you're not making it up,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so those are all the thoughts I had 5 years. And, in fact, the idea of listening to that kind of communication or listening to someone who was coming through with that kind of communication, I would probably, in most cases, have avoided it. Because I would be afraid that I might get under somebody's influence and I might start believing blindly what they said.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I think, case in point, Prophet Yahweh.
No, let's not bring up anything like that, okay?
No.
We don't want to say anything about anyone else that's unless we can say it in a positive light.
Well, exactly. Well, I was going to, actually.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was just going to say it's difficult to know who you're communicating with or whether those entities are of a positive nature or of a negative nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that often enough, the person who's bringing that information forth can't discern for himself whether that is of a service to other or service to self-natured being.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the interesting things is that you use the word service to self, service to others a lot. And actually, that's a term that I think Ra, and for those of you that don't know who Ra is a group. Let me say, don't believe any of this. I'll tell you, I've been having these experiences for the last 5 years. So integrate what I say. And check it out. Of course, I hope you read my book. I'm not saying that as a commercial. I'm saying it because I think the people that are reading it are it's the whole picture of life right now is making more sense to them. But now I forget. Oh, service to self, serve other. Forgetting what I'm saying. Service. Basically, the universe is divided, but it's not a strict division. We call it, you know. It's easy to say, he's service to self, he's service to other. And really, most beings are kind of a mishmash. Part of them is service to self, and part of them is service to other. And according to the information that I've been getting...
Well, isn't it, just to interject there, you know, one person brought up an interesting point, and he said, isn't service to others service to self in the end?
Well, you know what? In the highest sense, it's service to your greatest self.
Right.
Because basically, if that person is you, you're serving yourself in the other person.
Correct.
So that is absolutely true. I mean, it's either all service to self or all service to others. But, you know, it's easy to start talking about it and making service to self bad or evil or something, you know, you judge it, all those things. And in fact, we all have a part of us that's service to self. I mean, all of us, in general, we have, let's just say, urges to do things that would be service to self. And we may not act on those urges, but if... shouldn't copy CDs while I'm on a call.
You know, I'm actually redoing a stream right now, so... And these,
so we're both doing our side jobs.
Well,
huh?
Yeah, but the funny thing is, this is recording, and it's, you know, as we're recording our show, these red lines are going bleep, 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 but real slow. So I'm hoping that this this recording is going to be okay. I've never tried to encode a stream and record at the same time, but I'm a little under the gun as we have a show here with Eva at 6 o'clock, so I'm having to do both. Let's just hope this comes out okay, and if it doesn't, well, it'll be better next time. We'll not make that same mistake again.
But let me say why. What is the relative advantage or disadvantage of service to self or service to others? You know, we can go back into you know, comic book heroes, and of course there's the good guys and the bad guys, and of course service to others is the good guys and service to self is the bad guys. They're the ones that want to burn the town down and take things over, right?
Well, exactly.
But it's far more subtle than that on a quick level, and when you start to integrate, understand really from a cosmic level, service to self, service to others, and why it exists, it's kind of mind-blowing.
Well,
for example, let me just say, and some of the stuff I'm going to say is going to be, you know, I should probably, after I say some of this stuff, I'm going to go back and I'm going to share a little bit why I'm such an expert on all these topics, okay? Because it's an unusual area to have expertise in, and I've had an awfully unusual experience. But according to Ra, and Ra is a group soul who has been involved in the evolution of humankind perhaps forever or for at least hundreds of thousands of years, and also been involved in the evolution of other planets in our solar system. Like there was life on Maldek, which exploded into the asteroids, and there was life on Mars. And Ra is kind of an administrator as far as they identify themselves.
Well, they were like us when they used to be on, I believe,
on
Venus.
Right. Yeah. But they're an administrator for souls. Like they, in the book, my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, it's explained how they moved souls from Maldek and Mars when they both lost the ability to sustain life. They moved those souls to our planet to continue their evolutionary process. And apparently, many different planets and solar systems with life. And at each time there's a solar system, there's also kind of an oversoul at the initial stages of that solar system. It makes up the game and the rules for that solar system.
Correct.
And there have been solar systems where everything was made positive, where there was no negative. And the problem with those solar systems is that the evolution of the people that were totally living within positive was very, very, very
slow.
And so... even you see, from our point of view, from a human point of view, the goal of life is to have a good life, to be prosperous, to be abundant, to have nice children, to, you know, I mean, this is the old model anyway. And from a cosmic point of view, the goal of life is to create evolved beings. In a sense, from a cosmic point of view, these oversouls are attempting to duplicate themselves and birth us into the next oversoul. That's the way it works. And then they move on to another level.
Correct. It's just kind of a new take on an old story. I mean, many people hear of a higher self. It reaches seventh dimension. It sheds itself into the eighth dimension, becoming one with all. But it leaves a component of itself behind.
Right,
it's the same thing. It's just a new twist on the same old and quite accurate assessment of how it works.
Right. So, in any case, the mix of negative and positive polarity apparently creates far more people graduating from this level than when it's all positive, and at a faster rate. Now, that's something that I couldn't know myself. That's something that no one could know unless you have been outside of time and have been able to observe various evolving solar systems through their whole period of evolution and see these things and learn how it worked. And that's what I believe Ra does. They can observe outside of time, perhaps millions of years, and so they're part of like the administrative force to create us to grow. So when we see negative, right now we're in this period of negative, and in fact, it's like when negative happens on this planet, well, the result is oftentimes it brings out the best in people. Not that we should for the negative, but look at all the people that are rising to the occasion for New Orleans to help that city. I remembered when I was growing up, my father, who was a very closed man, his best friends, in fact his only friends, were people who he went through World War II with. And that's because they were bonded together in a negative circumstance, and he had to bond with them. He couldn't resist. If you're in the same foxhole with somebody, that's real. I remember somebody said the way they pick friends was to think of that if that's a person they'd like to be in a foxhole with. Because if they couldn't say yes to that, the person wasn't a worthy friend. Like, are you going to have somebody looking over your shoulder and looking out for you, they're going to look for somebody that's going to run at the first sign of trouble. And, you know, try to evaluate your friends in that kind of scenario and put each one in the foxhole and see how many come out shining because you might be surprised. So in any case, when we talk about negative and positive, we're talking about catalyst. And we're talking about creating this urgency for us to rise up and be kind of the cream on top of the coffee, because that's exactly what's happening right now according to these interdimensional sources. Our planet is going through a shift. Now, we all know it's going through a shift, but we don't know what it means, most of us. And I'll offer to you a little bit about how I understand that shift and how I came to understand that this is the way it works. And that is that, do you think our listeners know what etheric energy is, Don?
I'm not sure, but I can say that etheric energy might be termed what they have known scientifically as dark energy. That might help.
What's it called?
Well, those people that think in terms of the scientific,
yeah,
they've heard of the expression dark energy and dark matter.
D-A-R-K?
D-A-R-K.
Because that sounds negative, though.
Well, it isn't. It's just, it's matter that's there, it's energy that's there, but they can't, science can't quite get a grip on what the heck it is, although it is quantifiable and measurable, which, of course, etheric energy is.
Okay, I want to try to find words that anybody can understand it. Okay, well, through mankind's history, there's been names to describe this invisible substance that is pervades space that some people are very sensitive to, and some people even perceive it as auras. And some of the words that have described it are Holy Spirit in Christianity, Shakti in Hindu. William Wright called it orgone energy. And probably the one term that almost everyone can understand is good vibes.
Or torsion.
And torsion, no one's heard the word torsion unless they've read the book.
Okay.
Everyone understands vibes. They walk into a room and they say, this room has really good vibes in it. Or this room really has bad vibes in it. You know? We have a sense to that energy, even when we don't know what the heck it is. And the most common vocabulary is saying, he's got really good vibes, which is referring to that energy.
Or chi.
Or chi, right. Chi is another name for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds
juju.
Of names. Which one?
Juju.
Juju?
Mojo.
Mojo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of different terms for it, yeah.
So, with all those words, I assume somebody out there, most of the people, understand what we're talking about when we refer to this energy.
Yeah, there is an energy there, and it is on a certain frequency or wavelength or vibration, and it is there.
So this energy pervades empty space. Science, I didn't mention this word, unified field. Scientists, metaphysical scientists call it the unified field.
Right.
It pervades empty space, and the thing about it is, it's not same amplitude. It has these places where it gets very, very strong. Now, this is an area that I can't prove. This is something that I'm going to ask people just to take on faith for a moment that this is true, that it hits these peaks. Because according to the interdimensional sources, they're saying that we're in a peak right now, that the peaks come approximately every 75,000 years. And this peak of energy, which our planet is passing through, is creating not only vast transformation on our planet, it's creating vast transformation in our entire solar system. In fact, referring back to the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, David Wilcock was asked by his source, which is Ra, the same Ra we've been talking about, to explain to the planet this this transformation that's going on. And he found that there's tremendous measurable changes through the entire solar system. And he's been on Art Bell talking about that. In fact, he talked about that on Art Bell before he ever let anyone know that he was Edgar Cayce. But I'm just looking. I opened the book up because it's sitting here. Unprecedented solar activity. The sun's magnetic field became 230% stronger between 1901 and 1999. In 100 years, it got 230% stronger. I mean, this is a planet. This is a huge, huge, not a planet, but it's our sun, but it's a huge body. And it's doubled. Magnetic field doubled. Here's another one. The Martian atmosphere has become 200% thicker. Now, I don't see the time on that, over what period of time, but over recent times. Neptune got 40% brighter between 1996 and 2002.
That's incredible.
In 6 years, it got 40% brighter. Well, Pluto's atmosphere, now check this, the atmosphere of Pluto is 300% denser from 1988 to 2002. And that's according to James Elliott, professor of planetary astronomy at MIT. 6 years, what is that? No, not 6 years. So 14 years, the atmosphere is 300% denser. Volcanic activity on our planet has increased 500% since 1975. I mean, 500%, five times. Now, of course, we're all sitting watching these phenomenal disasters happen on the planet right now. You know, the tsunami, the hurricane in New Orleans, and we're in the midst of observing it, and people have got to be saying, why is this happening? What does this mean? Why it's happening is because we are in the end of the 75,000-year cycle, and we are in the midst of this very high etheric energy field that is culminating at its highest point, guess when? December of 2012. Why did the Mayan calendar end in December of 2012? Because the Mayans were communicating with interdimensional sources that were revealing this to them, and they knew that this was the time of this transformation. And so, you know, at the beginning we talked about how can you trust these interdimensional sources, and what does this mean to you and I personally? Here we are living on a planet in transformation, and some guy on the radio is saying there's these sources that we can't know are telling us that we're at the end of a cycle and that there's all these increased disasters on our planet. What is there that's good about it?
Yeah.
Why do we want to be here now? According to my information, you know, there's millions and millions of souls that have volunteered to be here now to experience this transformation. In fact, you know, those of you that have been listening to all the metaphysical shows have heard the terms star seeds, indigo children, walk-ins. These are all souls that wanted to be here in this period of time. Now, why would a soul that's got, you know, safe and happy on the other side want to come here to go through this period of transformation that our planet's on? Go ahead, Don. You can answer that.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. What an experience. You know,
what an experience.
What an experience, because we're in the midst of several major cycles. I mean, there's minor and major cycles, mm-hmm. and the nice thing about what's happening here is we're a unique. We really, truly, I mean, people often feel that they're unique. Well, we're in a very unique experiment, one that is being done because, first of all, we have free will. We chose to care, and we have free will. It's the veil is very strong, and most of us forget completely why we're here. We have a chance to progress or ascend faster than any other type of life form out there because of this experiment. It's basically a penal colony for all the people that just didn't get it in the past, and now they have the opportunity to, because of all the catalysts, especially the negative catalyst, to activate their inner knowing or their inner being as to the extent that they can understand that they are one with all. And right now we're coming into a time when these three major cycles are culminating, and there's a lot of energy being expressed right now and a lot of energy that's being focused on this planet right now. And since the planet is going what they call through a group ascension, not mm-hmm. just individual harvests, and I mean, there is going to be the harvest, but I'm talking the whole planet is moving into higher dimensions. Right now, our planet has already moved from third to fourth, and of course, the third dent is one of karma, and we are no longer in that, let's say, a density of karma. We are now in what they call the fourth density of truth, which
you know what?
Yeah.
As I understand it, both densities exist together. Because when you say that, I think you're going to lose people, because people are going to say, I'm not experiencing that.
Well, it's about the same. It's about the same as the third. The fourth density isn't much different, only it's a density of truth. In other words, all things will start to be made or revealed, and those that resist this change, because it comes in the form of change.
Right.
And those that resist it, you know, and many will, cause a lot of great difficulties in themselves and throughout the world, whether that be in wars, whether that be in environmental problems, whether that be in earth changes, and that's due to the resistance to the truth of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that fourth density is where we're at now, and as we continue to move into the fifth density, which we'll go into another time, that's a whole nother matter, and it's coming up quickly, and that's going to be a fun topic. But that's basically where, As the planet ascends into fifth density, we too will feel that, and it will be quite a revolution or a revelation for all of us. But until that time, much change is happening. There are many entities wondering with how this is all going to turn out, because of the free choice, of the free choice that we have to such an extent of our free will at this point in time, that it's such a dynamic and fluid period that, folks, what a journey. I mean, just think of it. May you live in interesting times is a great sentence. And boy, you're going to live in interesting times. And they're going to get much more interesting. But it's a specific time where many things are culminating, many things are happening. And it's a unique situation throughout the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it just adds a lot of excitement and a lot of anticipation.
Now, Don, I have an important question.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to change. I'm going to go right back into what I was talking about, but I want to change the topic for just a second. Is your mother listening?
You know, I believe my mother is listening. I hope she is. She normally does.
I really want to say hello to her, because, you know.
Well, thank you, Wynn.
She has got to be a special being, considering that I know both of her children. Maybe she's got more, but I know Doug and you, and you're both incredible.
Well, thank you, Wynn. You know, I sincerely appreciate that. And Mother, I just wanted to say I love you dearly. You know that.
What's your name?
Her name's Hildy.
Hildy?
Correct.
Hildy.
Correct.
Hildy, I hope you email us and let me know if you understand what we're talking about. Because, you know, you are a beautiful person, and it's important for me to know that our vocabulary is making sense to you. And if you get a chance and you feel so inclined, send an email to Don and let him know how you understood what we said and what questions it brought up, okay? And we were talking about all these people and this transformation and what it means. And let me build a little credibility to say why I'm an expert on this subject, okay? I say this humbly, but I just that it's an unusual subject to be able to talk about with some sense of authority. And even though I might say I'm an expert, I don't know. There's things that I just don't know that are true. I won't say they're true 100%. I would say that somebody has to do their own research and make it make sense to them. But what happened to me was, some 20 years ago, probably the person that had the most major influence on my life was Edgar Cayce. I read probably 20 Edgar Cayce books, and Edgar Cayce is and was the most documented psychic prophet in the world, probably in history, leaving a track of 15,000 readings. He would go into a dream state, and he would be omniscient. He could diagnose somebody's illness just knowing the city they were in and their name. He could recommend alternative cures, and he could tell people who they were in their past life. And I was in Berkeley as a physics major, and I read a huge amount of Edgar Cayce's books, and it was the first thing that said that made me say that there's more to life than meets the eye.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't just all science, and that someone was speaking through Edgar Cayce that was extremely wise and extremely, you know, confident and aware and huge abilities, and I wanted to understand how all that worked. So 20 years later, of course, I find that Edgar Cayce has come back in a body, and I've, you know, I'm not going to talk too much about it. You can go to my website, Cayce's Back, but there's a really good case, really good, with probabilities of millions to one, that David Wilcock is Edgar Cayce. It's just really hard to explain how all the things could have happened to David and he not be Edgar Cayce. And he's also bringing through messages from a very high source, and those messages are in the book. And so when I started writing the book and when I started studying David and Cayce, I said, you know, said to myself, David is obviously Cayce. I mean, there's too many factors, and this stuff coming through him is extremely wise, and that stood on its own, whether you believed anything else about the book or not. The wisdom stood on its own. And the scientific information, like the stuff I read about the planets, atmospheres changing, is all documented by NASA or university research. And then the book talks about this dimensional shift being at the end of this 75,000-year cycle. And that does not stand on its own. That's an area that I kept saying to myself, how this is true. I can't prove this in some way. It hasn't happened yet. I have to put it in the book because it's what David's saying. And, you know, what's being said is that we're at a 75,000-year cycle and that our whole planet is being upgraded from third chakra to fourth chakra, making it simple, and that it's going to affect every human being on this planet in a profound way, and there's going to be some kind of event called ascent, where people move through these dimensions while they're in their body, and this is going to happen soon, like supposedly in waves between 2009 and 2017.
And that's an interesting topic. Tell you how that's all going to occur is something I'd really like to get into, because there's so many theories on exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to occur.
Yeah.
But there is a dynamic to it, and that's something we can go into.
Yeah. Well, let's just say that the first time anyone ever hears something about this, their first thing is going to be incredulousness, as was mine, as are many people. I watch people that react to my book. And, you know, when you tell somebody there's a possibility that you're going to disappear from this dimension and appear in another dimension,
yeah,
and it's going to be real, it sounds like Star Trek, okay?
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like anything we have any familiarity with. We have no experience of that in the history of mankind, of people disappearing. At least I haven't heard about it. People disappearing and reappearing and showing up in a higher dimension. And yet, this is what David Wilcock's source was saying. And they say they're a group soul that once had bodies and had gone through this whole period of evolution to the point where they exist outside of our timeline, and they can enter into our timeline through us in our dreams and in intuitive flashes. Now, I was writing the book for 2 years, and personally, to tell you the truth, when I was first going to write the book, I was going to say, you know, maybe I could leave all this ascension stuff out of there and just talk about David and Edgar Cayce, because writing about ascension seemed really far out. It seemed like provocative. It's like, you know, we live in a Judean Christian culture, and suddenly, here we have David Wilcock writing about and talk about the fulfillment of what Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago, and that's a lot of responsibility to be right or wrong, you know, to come and say this is what we think is happening, and yet it's not a religious event; it's a evolutionary event. It's not based on Christianity. It's not limited to people who are Christian. It's limited to people that have their hearts open. That's the way it's described. Because there's an energy in your heart, and the new planetary principle is based on that heart energy, so that your energy body can't get into the higher dimensional earth unless your heart's open. Now, it's not like somebody saying, Don, you're a good boy, your heart's been open, you can go. It's not like that. It's actually your heart is like a key to open the dimensional door, or to open the stargate, i.e., without that key, the door doesn't open, and you hold yourself from going to that level. And, you know, the good question is, how do you keep your heart open, especially in today's world? That's another topic. Remind me, maybe we should talk about it next week, how to keep your heart open in a world that's falling apart. But one of the reasons the world's falling apart is because the falling apart actually, if we have two ways of relating to it. We can crawl into our fallout shelters, lock everyone else out, and wait till our food runs out and die. Or we can open our hearts to each other and help each other. And in the helping, there's a miraculous thing that happens where things happen that wouldn't happen otherwise. Particularly this moving into this higher dimension. Well, in any case, I'm writing the book for 2 years, and I've got all these questions about ascension. And then 2 years into writing the book, I have a girlfriend, a new girlfriend, and that out of the blue, she starts to channel. And, I mean, the story goes we were taking a ride and it was raining, and did a little prayer, and then I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And she answered. And suddenly I'm asking questions. Now, I don't know if this is positive. I don't know if it's negative. I don't know what to make of it. And, in fact, at first I thought it was her making it up, but they quickly proved that it wasn't. And for 6 months, she would be telling me, those guys want to talk to you again. And I'm having this incredible experience of asking any question I can think of to this group soul that identifies themselves as the Council of Elohim, another oversoul for our planet. And, you know, I asked how do they operate, how do we look to them, and I was getting answers. And I also had a miracle, you know, of my sister's healing. And so you can check out my website, conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, and read some of that. But the biggest thing that happened in these channelings for myself, aside from them proving to me that they were real, was they answered all these questions about ascension that I didn't know the answer to. And I mean, that they were exactly the same as were in my book on David Wilcock. Same answers, same timeline, same procedure, same talking about leaving the planet. And I had to ask myself, how can these two sources come up with the same information independently? And is there disinformation on the other side? Could it be wrong? Or is it they said it was a way of proving to me that this was real, so I would be willing to go out and talk about it. And you know, after 6 months, the girlfriend, I call her Girlfriend X, left me. She freaked out over it all. 6 weeks later, I called up my old girlfriend, Girlfriend Y. She came over, spent the night with me, and suddenly they're talking to me through her. And this has been going on now for 3 years, where I have had the opportunity to ask endless questions under any topic to the Council of Elohim, who was one of the creator gods of our solar system, the group that was interfacing with mankind, one of the groups in the Old Testament trying to evolve our people, and they're giving me the messages of how it works. Okay, so we're talking about interdimensional communication and my own personal experience of it. And I thought I'd play a little part of a taping where I was asking questions to the group that identified themselves as the Council of Elohim, and you can hear how they answered those questions.
Oh, is this another channeling that...
Girlfriend X did.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Okay. So, here we go.
Start with the questions that might be used to explain this kind of transmission to those who have never been exposed to this kind of work. So the first question is, why is it that you are available to us to answer these questions?
We have always been available to those who would do that.
Anyone anywhere that, sincerely speaking, would find a way to connect with this kind of communication?
If that is the intent of the recipient, our frequency, our information, our beingness is present for those who can properly perceive it.
Now, the instrument we're receiving right now, would someone have to have the same kind of connection to the higher energies as her to be able to receive these kinds of messages?
It is what you would deem helpful. I think the process of awareness, however, it can be accessed by many of situation in a profoundly receptive and meditative.
How could someone who doesn't have the availability of this kind of channel connect with the support of your counsel?
By going deeply within the self. Deeply within the self for the answer to the truth. Available universally to all.
Why is it on this level people do not remember or experience often their connection with their divine source?
Because there are veils in place in this level that they need to be until you reach different density. You have chosen this as part of your evolutionary build-up, part of design.
If someone is living within their veil, what can they do to penetrate through their veil? What kind of exercise? If they have decided that this is something they would like to live about.
First, there must be intention. Then, there must be persistence. Then, there must be a vision of that it could be beyond the veil. These combined provide the backdrop and the impetus for further dissolution of the mental structures holding in a person.
Thank you. And as part of the process, when a person makes this intention, does your counsel actually monitor and notice when that takes place in a person, even though they haven't penetrated the veil directly?
The counsel notices and guides as much as it is able those entities willing to perceive us on what we would term the other side.
Now, many entities might be highly skeptical that such a counsel would be actually paying attention to things on such an individual level with so many billions of people on this planet. Could you describe a little bit how that process works in the etheric level of energy, how that actual noticing takes place?
We see you as energy systems, as energy sources. When there are particularly bright spots, you know to pay attention to the bright spots, since we are indicative. For the person in your identity has tapped into the greater collective field and is thus accessing consciousness, the required inclination to further free him or herself from the confines of the business. In this manner, we are able to pay attention to those who, among billions, would make the initial sojourn into the greater developmental density awaiting higher galactic consciousness connection.
Would it be appropriate to describe you as a good soul or a group of many, many individual energies? And if so, could you explain where all those energies came from before they became part of your council?
We all wish to be being a group soul, a group matrix, a collective, an oversoul of the sixth density. We are currently moving into seventh and eighth density.
Done?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
Did that come out?
That came out. We can always
edit the spaces.
Sure, edit the spaces.
Yeah.
Dig the spaces. You
well,
mean.
I thought that was a... You
Don't
know,
you dig those spaces?
Yeah, yeah. That was a very good tape of a group soul defining themselves and how they notice us.
Yeah.
And they've proven to me over time that they are the Council of Elohim, and that these are the words from one of the group that's been played a major part in our evolution, okay? And this is a process where my girlfriend, my former girlfriend, who didn't even want this to happen, couldn't help it, but happened.
And was that the first time? That wasn't the first time.
No, that wasn't the first time. That was probably 5 months into it, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was after, you know, actually, that was a situation where I had to stop asking personal questions what I was doing. And I said, I'm just going to ask questions to introduce this to people. Because I was asking some really silly questions, like we needed money, so I asked them, could you guys help us at the racetrack? And they said it wouldn't be a good idea for me to go to the racetrack because it would send me back to patterns of past lifetimes, which I could see that would be true. So we had to suffer without their help in picking winning races. But they did predict a newspaper headline in advance just to prove to me that they were real. Very specific prediction.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've gone through 3 years of these kinds of conversations and asking these kind of questions. And
so there is actual communication with the higher dimensions. In other words, multidimensional communication does exist. It can be verified. I mean, we have enough people out there now that have made statements or have channeled material that has proven out not only in prophecy and in events, but also in scientific means. In other words, even Edgar Cayce had many, many communications where his material then later proved to be absolutely correct. And this occurs quite often. So to think interdimensional communication does not exist is to just close your mind off to the facts.
You know, the big thing is, though, that it's so easy for someone to give up their free will and their power if they get close to this kind of experience. I mean, people will do it anyway, and I'm just telling you that this is kind of a negative pitfall of all of this. Because how many people want to call their psychics to say, should I do this, should I do that, should I go here, should I go that, what do I do next? And of course, if somebody's channeling and they say, this is what you're meant to be doing, you're supposed to be doing this, suddenly, you know, you have someone that you perceive to have all this power coming through, and it's very easy to believe it all blindly without testing it out. And one of the problems in our world today is that, you know, we've heard of the negative elite. They channel also, but they channel negative beings that have a negative intent. But negative beings that don't necessarily come out and say, hi, we're negative and we're here to have a negative intent, they actually look positive, just like in the world. I mean, you got to look in the world. The greatest con man doesn't look like a con man, right? If
sure.
He looked like a con man, he wouldn't be a con man, right?
Well, that's right. It's sinful. They spread a lot of truth with the...
So negative groups on the other side don't look like negative groups. You know, they look like they're con men, so to speak, where they look really positive and they have an agenda. And their agenda is to be part of the forces that want to hold you back.
Or harvest you into their... into that
into
negative,
some negative,
negative
realm
dimension. Sure.
Right. So it's very, very important to use a lot of discernment. I mean, I do believe the two groups that I've been connected with are positive and service to others and very wise. And one of the things about interdimensional communication is that it doesn't patronize your ego, it doesn't tell you what to do, and it doesn't make you afraid. It gives you wisdom and guidance, but it doesn't turn you into a blind follower or another doctrine.
Well, that's the thing. If it isn't for, like you always come at it with the, you know, from the highest, for the highest good of all concerned. But, you know, a lot of times, if those entities are speaking in a way that causes fear or would harm others or your discernment shows that it is of a negative caliber, then, of course, I mean, and it isn't that difficult, from what I've learned, to discern that. But you do have to be in touch with who you are and how you fit into the whole, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think? Is it that difficult to discern?
Yep. I disagree. I think that from where a person is, and you got to look at the average person. An average person, not that anyone's average, is like, and I speak of myself because I've gone through years of.
Well,
this.
If I was average, my wife would leave me.
That's right. So I'm single. So what does that make me? So an average person like me, who has gone through years of feeling worthless, low self-esteem, not fitting into the world, alienated, right?
Exactly.
And suddenly, you imagine if this happened to me in that period of time, say 15 years ago, and suddenly I have a girlfriend that's talking and say, hi, we're the Council of Elohim. We're one of the group that was God on your planet, and we have chosen to talk to you because you're such a special person. You know what? I'd be in big trouble. Either I would have gone on a big ego trip, or I would have attracted a negative group, because when you're feeling worthless, how is worthwhileness going to talk to you?
Well, exactly. It's
kind of
like that channeling where, without going into any specifics, you know how some of these channeled beings say, you are the way, you are the light, you are going to be king, you are going to be this, you are going to be that,
mm-hmm.
and everybody should bow down to you, or we're going to put you up on a pedestal. You pretty much know, folks, that kind of an entity is a self-serving entity. And you should be familiar with that by now, if you're not familiar, you should be familiar with it now, because there's so many types of channelings out there, and many of them are exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Ra group, they can come into your space as pure energy. They actually can get right into the earth plane, and you can feel them. And for many years, I would experience that energy, but I never imagined that it was intelligent, that it was intelligent, and that it could perceive me, and that it was paying attention to me. And when that energy passes through your mind, you suddenly get higher level thoughts that are more connected to that group that's called himself as Ra. So, you know, when it comes to interdimensional energy, there can be kind of a blending where you exist with all those beings simultaneously. And I'm not saying that in a very clear way. I don't know. Did you understand what I meant?
No.
Well, stop me when you don't understand. Jeez. Stop me. Okay. It's kind of like you go into a dreamy state and thoughts start coming into your mind, and write them down and dictate them into a tape recorder, because that's an opening to other dimensions. And but it's very important when you keep this opening to not look for phenomena. Have your intent to look for guidance, for help, support, love, care, not bizarre phenomena. Because if it's just a phenomena, that the first thing in time it happens, you'll call your wife and says, honey, they're talking to me! You know, your ego is going to get blown out of the way, and you get the wrong people. And see if you can feel the energy of Ra, this group energy that can come into this level.
One thing's for sure. Whether you know it or not, what you seek for, you will receive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have an ego and you're seeking specific interdimensional communication with a being of a higher order, you're going to get a being that's going to play with your ego.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Book soul. I mean, it seems like science fiction. It seems like really far out. But I've had all this experience talking to these guys, feeling it out, psyching into it, and I think that it works this way. Everybody on the planet knows what group energy is. Everyone. In fact, experiencing group energy is probably the basic drive of a human. And we do it by having great sex. What is great sex? It's group energy. Going to a music concert, feeling the vibe a good concert creates a oneness in the crowd. When you go to church and you feel that spirit move through everything, group energy. When you go to a rock concert, group energy. You know, when you go into a city that's really nice, a small little artistic community, you know, usually those people have a group energy that surrounds the whole city, that everyone creates. And you go and you can feel it. Group energy is not such an unusual experience. And when one is at their first level of growth, one is looking to experience it and go to places to experience it. At the next level of growth, one is needing to create it. One has gone from passive to active. And so, like the guy who is playing the music would be active. He's creating a catalyst for the room that everyone can experience, group energy. And so over many, many lifetimes, we get to experience and get more masterful, and we get to be part of the creation of group energy. And finally you move into another level, and you become consistent group energy, a group soul that just exists at the energy level, and that is, they're all combined, and they can then move through the other dimensions into ours and help us, because we are like at a lower level of evolution coming up.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. In fact, when you state that we are we go from passive to active. That's quite an accurate statement of group energy and how it works.
Yeah. And first you have to experience it enough before you can be active enough to create it for other people.
Right.
You know?
And that's what a group soul is like, or a conscious unit.
Yeah, they're actively involved.
That's correct.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're actively involved. We're actively involved because we're doing a radio show.
Right, which is just a lower form of it, but
right.
it's the same principle.
Mm-hmm. Now, many people on the planet are from group souls that volunteered to be here for this shift, and then they forgot that they volunteered. That's probably one of the trickiest things around, because to get into this level, you have to go through this veil. You have to forget everything, and once you forget everything, boom, you know, you had an intention to be here for a certain purpose, and now you don't even remember the purpose. You have to wake up to it. A lot of people that are paying attention to websites like yours or shows like this one are
waking up to it.
Are waking up to it, or people that are looking to wake up to it, or that come from those high energies because they're more sensitive to this information. They're looking for it. And when they
look for it, they find it. That's, in fact, that's one point that I want to express, is that people always say, well, I can't find it, but I'm reading all this great stuff and all these great books, and I'm starting to learn more, but I still can't find it. Well, the funny thing is, it finds you in so many ways. And when you're looking for it, you will find it. And the more you're learning and the more you're beginning to understand, that is basically that group consciousness or that oversoul working to help you find it.
Mm-hmm.
In what you read, what you see, how you feel, everything.
How does an oversoul help you find it?
Well, let's say you start asking, you start seeking, you question what your life and your matrix and how it's been for you up until that point, and you start to realize that there's more to it than what you've come to understand, and you start to seek or start to ask, and these things start to be shown to you. Especially the greater your intent to seek, the more focused that intent, the more it becomes available, or the more aware you become to it being around you. And all of a sudden, you grow and grow, and your vibration increases and increases till eventually it starts connecting with you faster and faster and more readily. And this goes until the point you start to connect on much higher levels, and the information is much more in depth and at a much more efficient, comes to you in a much more efficient way. But it's a pattern of growth.
You know, if you notice, the Elohim said they tune into us based on our radiance of energy.
Right.
And when they tune into the collective and see the bright spots. So I would say that when there's group energy created, when you're in a space where there's group energy, like a music concert or a spiritual event, that's perceived by those sources. They actually perceive them. They look at them, and they interface with it. And so that is a very important thing to do. It's part of the healing of the planet, to be able to, everyone who's listening, participate in things that create group energy, because that allows higher forces to come through you and into the planet and heal things. So on that note, I think we've covered interdimensional communication, group energy, and the Council of Elohim. So let's finish here by calling in the light. And calling in the light is another name for creating a group energy between all those people who are listening all over the world right now. And in that group energy, perhaps you might feel a sense of upliftment and connection. So, Father, Mother, God, I ask right now for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person who's listening, tuned in to us right at this moment, and that we can imagine a web of light energy, etheric energy, connecting us, connecting our high selves, communing, becoming one. And wherever we are, all over the planet, we are surrounding the planet in that energy. And we give permission to the higher group souls who are service to others to interface with our energies, to connect with us, to connect with our planet, to heal the planet. We take this light energy and we send it to the people we care about and we love, to the people that need healings, to the people in Louisiana, to the people in Iraq. We send it to our neighborhoods, to wives, to our husbands, to our children. Feel this energy and move it through. Imagine that if you don't experience anything, just imagine that it's happening and radiating to all those people, and let it go. And ask for things you need and want, and ask for the highest good of all concerns, which means that if it's granted, not a single person will be hurt by that being granted.
Including
yourself. And just we'll send this energy to Ariel, who's the producer of the show, who's probably sitting there skeptically wondering, what is Wynn talking about now? We send it to everyone. And I thank Don.
I thank you.
For the opportunity to be here with you today.
It's always a pleasure.
We bless you all and look forward to next Saturday.
Have a good weekend, folks. Thank you very much for listening. Good night.